Anyway, super, super excited today for our baptism. That's always a great day. And, you know, I was telling Chris before service, you know, we do three baptisms a year, and we average anywhere from 20 to, we've had 60, but anywhere usually between 20 and 40. And we've been doing this for years. I mean, I've been doing this for years and years and years. So this place should have thousands of people. So what does God tell me? It's none of my business. Just do your job. The outcome's His. And that's a huge lesson for all of us to learn, is that we need to do what we need to do, and God does what He does. And however He uses us, and this is the cool thing, I know that when I get to heaven, I'll be able to meet, you know, I'll meet people that I got to baptize here, and it's like, wow. And so we'll be telling stories about our lives for a long time. And I really do believe that one of the things that hinders us oftentimes is shame. It keeps us from stepping forward because we talk ourselves out of stuff before we ever begin to even do it. And sometimes we identify ourselves more with our failures than with who God calls us and what God calls us to be and do. And please don't stop. Take those thoughts captive, because they're lies. You're here, so that means you're not done. When you're done, you won't be here. You know, so, you know, I don't care if you're young, I don't care if you're old. You know, one of the great joys I take was when I read that scripture years ago that, I forget which servant of the Lord, but he said, your latter years will be more productive than your former years. And it's like, man, that's the story of my life. I've been a late bloomer my whole life. Finally, late blooming pays off. And I do believe that the latter years of my life are going to be and have been more productive than the former years. And part of that is going through the things of life and the struggles. And, you know, and I remember this, it's not if it's off topic, but when our son overdosed, and I've been kind of really in a melancholy mood in my personal place these last couple days, just thinking about him, and because I really miss him, and sometimes I forget about him, you know, like I forget what he was like, because it's going on almost 11 years now, and there's shame attached to having a child go out that way. And Teresa and I both have talked about it, and we both work through that. And you know, so there's different places of shame that we navigate through, but they always have to do with failure and loss, or perceived failure and real loss. And I just want you guys to, and I reiterate it to myself even, that God is not ashamed. He's not ashamed to call you friend. He's not. He's not. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And, you know, your position with Him isn't based on your behavior in the moment. It's based on the work of Jesus. And He died because He loved you. And so, and that's what we're going to talk about today in baptism, because there's baptism, it has to do with our citizenship in the kingdom. It has nothing to do with salvation. Our salvation is from Jesus. So the first thing we have to become is a child of God. And that goes all the way back into Genesis. And when Adam and Eve sinned, what happened was relationship was broken with God. Because see, you and I come into this world and we are already separated. We're separated from God. We struggle with our purpose. We struggle with acceptance. We do all kinds of things to try to find the place of acceptance. And we do it sometimes in varied ways. Some of us try to do it through people. Some of us do it through our professions. Some of us do it through our bodies. So we try to find the place, the group where we fit. And Adam and Eve didn't have that problem. They belonged to God. They were spiritually alive and connected. They were in touch with themselves. They felt acceptable in themselves. They accepted themselves. They accepted each other. Bible says they were naked and felt no shame. That word naked means they were utterly transparent. And there was no shame attached to it. They had never experienced that till they sinned. And then for the first time, they felt disconnect and shame. And so what did they do? They ran and they hid and they covered themselves. And we've been covering ourselves ever since so that we can find some kind of way to be accepted and search for purpose. And so Jesus came and found them. Pre-incarnation, he was in his body. He came and talked to them, and he found them. And then he killed an animal and covered them with skins. Because in Leviticus 19:11, it says that life is in the blood. It is the internal. So the first thing he did was promise them that, one, there would be someone to come in the future who would give them a blood transfusion, whose blood would be pure and would be exchanged for their contaminated blood. But until that time, he gave them skins and told them to sacrifice animals, and that's where the whole Mosaic law and all the stuff in the Old Testament where they were always sacrificing animals, because their blood, an animal's blood can't be transfused with a human, but it could cover. So it covered the sin and allowed God to start the restoration of the relationship. So Jesus was promised. So that's the first thing that God does. And it's the first example in Scripture of the importance of this transfusion of blood, contaminated, transfused with uncontaminated. And it had to be a human being. So God himself came to do that. But that was promised. But then the second thing was the earth during Noah's time was washed because it had become so corrupted and filthy. So the outside had to be taken care of. The internal with the blood and the external with the water to be washed clean. And so what happened? God washed the earth clean and then it started to produce again fresh. But the problem was man was still contaminated in there. And so all through the Old Testament, we have this line. And that's a big purpose of the Old Testament, is to give us a line, a lineage of the one who would come in the New Testament to save us, the King. So God's purpose from the very beginning was to have an earth that was beautifully shaped, functioning as it was supposed to, inhabited by humans, whose king would be God, and he would live among them, and we were designed to have bodies. Death is an abnormal condition for the human. We were designed to live forever. Sin causes death. Many, look at your own lives. People's sins have caused death in your life, whether it's relational, whether it's legal, whether it's financial. It's caused issues in our life. And so God wants to heal that. So first thing he does is he brings us into the family. And he has a blood transfusion. And now we have a new identity. I've done many funerals and I've been at tons of cemeteries. And I've seen where they've had headstones that say, you know, little Timmy who died, and it's tragic, is now an angel. You're not an angel. You're a human being. Angels are beings whose natural habitat is what we would call the supernatural. You and I were designed by God whose natural habitat would be the natural. Yet we are gifted to be able to communicate and identify with the supernatural. And just like the supernatural can identify and communicate with the natural, God's ultimate desire is to bring the supernatural and the natural together in the new heaven and the new earth in the future with our new bodies that will be raised incorruptible, never to be contaminated again. It's beyond our comprehension. Yet, Ecclesiastes tells us that God has placed in each of us eternity. He's placed in each of us this thought, this desire that how the world should be. People ought to act and live like this. Why do I do what I do? There's more to life than just the chasing after everything. And so we have this, but we are incapable of meeting it because we have corruption in us and everybody else. You guys following me? Jesus' desire is to fix that. And so first step is to come to the Lord. And this is why you need to know this. In Ephesians 1:5, we're told this. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. You did not find God. God, before anything was even created, had you in mind in the generation you were to be in the family you were to be born into the geography of where you were to live. That was all pre-planned. Why? God is sovereign. He's in charge. What was meant, what the enemy meant to harm you in all of that, God's purpose was to redeem you in all of that. So he had that in plan, and he, in advance, and he also planned how he was going to bring you to himself. And in the midst of that, he's given you free will, so you get to operate thinking you have control over stuff. How many know the older you get, the more you realize you don't have control? How many of you parents that ever had kids, you thought you weren't going to raise them like mom and dad? I'm going to do it the right way. Then you start raising them, and when they're little, you do have a lot more control over them. But when they get bigger, they're just like you. You're on a need-to-know basis. And most of the time, they don't feel you need to know. Just like you. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Didn't fall far from Adam and Eve. Didn't fall far from us. So God, and God takes all that into consideration and still is going to use it for good. How? We don't know. Sometimes we get glimpses in the rearview mirror of our life, how God has used something. But most of the time, we're in the front seat watching the car go. And when we drive, it's kind of a problem. But when God drives, it's like, I don't even know where we're going. And he's content to tell you to live one day at a time. But this is the difference. When I don't live in shame, I live with hope for the future. When I don't live as an orphan, I live with hope for the future. When the enemy can rob us of hope, then we go, what's the purpose? Here's a side note on the balloons I just looked at. I was told before service, somebody brought them in here for my birthday. And I said, oh, those are for me? I thought it was for the baptism people. So for you baptism people, those are for you. That was a little ADD on me right there. That's the other thing about God. He doesn't take away all your problems, but he will help you navigate through them. Anyway, where was I? Okay, so Jesus did this about you. You are worthwhile. You are worthwhile. And he says this in verse 13 of that same chapter. Now you Gentiles have also heard the word of truth. That's the word of truth. The good news. That's good news. That God saves you. That word saves, as I oftentimes tell you, it means heals. He heals us. He heals us from the disease blood we have. And then he starts working on all the other internal parts of us that are also messed up. And then he continues to clean us like he did the earth of the stuff that gets on us in everyday life. He says, and when you believed in Christ, when you believe this, see, it's all mental stuff. I have to hear it, process it, and believe it. Your trust in God is completely based on how much you believe him to be true. The more truth I believe about Jesus, the easier it is to trust him. But see, we live in this world that people have lied to us regularly, that they've promised and not delivered. And so what do? We don't believe. And we put that same jacket on God. That he says he'll work it out for good, but there's no possible way he can. It's not this thing. This is just too much. And it is too much sometimes when we're in the midst of it. But you get some distance and you begin to see that there's still life after what I considered the end. And it can be a good life because God's got a plan in it. How many believe that God's got a good plan for your life? How many have not believed that when you've been the plan looked really sucky? Yeah, that's. See, I'll either hold on to one of those things as my truth. And I'm telling you today, hold on to the truth that God chose you. He's put you here. You belong. And there's a plan. And it's not to have the biggest house. And if you do have the biggest house and that's his plan, you must be a very generous person. Because that's probably his plan also. All right. So he says this. You guys were identified. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee. It's his guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. And he did this so we would praise and glorify him. When we understand that, God's guaranteed you all the inheritance. Part of that inheritance is to live forever. Part of that inheritance is a resurrection. Part of that inheritance is to be something in this generation of value. That's all the stuff God did. That's what brings us into the family and makes us a child of God. And John 1:12 tells us this. But to all who believed him, all who believe this and accept this and accept him and accept this as for me, he gave the right to become children of God. So you have the right. You have the legal right. Recently, we went to court and had our the three boys' names changed to Fury. And now they have a legal right to bear our name. They are now ours, and they have that name. We have the same thing in the kingdom of God. Your name was put into the book of life. That's your legal right, Scripture says. There's a number of books in heaven. Some record works. Some record salvation. Some record who the children of God is or are. So, this all started to take place on the natural realm when Jesus was born as the king who was to rule over this planet, and we were taken into that. And that's when Mary was told by the angel Gabriel, the king, the one with the pure blood, has arrived. He's going to shed it. He's going to do the transfusion. I've often thought when they were beating him right before his crucifixion at the trial and stuff, if they only knew that every drop of that blood that was exiting his body as they whipped him and punched him and all that, that every drop that landed on their Roman boots and on their clothes, that was holy blood meant to heal. The transfusion was taking place. And so the angel tells Mary, he says this in verse 31 of chapter 1 of Luke, you will conceive and give birth to a son. You will give a human birth. And you will name him Jesus, and he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. He will be God himself. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. The king has come. And he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. All of that is ours as a child of God. Baptism is the next step. And now we become citizens of the kingdom. That's really what baptism is. Just like my passport says I am a citizen of the United States. No matter where I go in the world, I have the legal rights and responsibilities and privileges as a citizen of the United States. That's what separates every country from every other country. It's not the people that live there, it's the citizens that live there. So this is what we possess when we enter baptism. It is that outward sign, that pledge of allegiance to the kingdom of God. I now belong to this place. Oh, but I was first a child of the family of God. Now I am a citizen in the kingdom. So that means everywhere you go in this, on this plane, on this earth, you represent the kingdom of God. You'll either represent it well or you won't. But it doesn't change your identity as a child of God. It makes you either a good ambassador for the kingdom or a poor ambassador for the kingdom. And this is the crazy part. Even when we are a poor ambassador, God can turn that into a good ambassador. You know, some people are good examples of bad examples. My dad used to drive around, "Don't be like that guy." That's a good example of a bad example. Some of us are, we've been curses in life, huh? How many know that? I've been a curse. God can take a curse and make it a blessing. I don't care how far you've gone. Hey, you're not done yet. Amaze your friends. Be someone different. So, this is what baptism is. It is identifying with Christ that he died to this world, and he shed his blood for us who live in this old world. And now we are dead to that, and we have been raised. We have been given a transfusion into a new world. And we're now members of a kingdom that is a big deal. In 1 Corinthians 15:20, it says this, "Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died." You're part of that harvest. You've been chosen to live in this generation, but all the generations previous are all part of that harvest, just like we are. And you know what he's called us to be in this generation? Harvesters. We are to harvest and help others. Because the event of baptism is the beginning. Walking it out is where we learn, where we have to process our stuff, where we have to deal with the things in our life, and all of that. Why? Because he wants us to be able to have tools to help others along the way. And I've shared it with you guys many times. The troubles in your life, God allowed so that you would have commonality with other travelers. You may think, part of the deception we sometimes have is we think we're the ones blazing a new trail. No one's as crazy as me. That's a pride issue. Reverse pride, but it's a pride issue. You haven't blazed any new trail. Whatever path you're on, well-worn. Not the first one. You're not the first one to blaze crazy, and you're not the first one to blaze healthy. There are people that have navigated the same things you are going through or have gone through and have navigated them successfully. You're not the first in either way. So lose that jacket. Quit putting that on yourself. It's a useless thought. It's a lie. It may be a first for you, but it's not a first. All temptation is common. Common. You're not the first person to bail out on God because it just went south. You're not the first person disappointed in God, in what he's allowed or not allowed. You're not. Others have been disappointed, yet they've maintained the walk. My thing isn't to beat myself up about it, that they maintained and I didn't. My thing is, how did you maintain so that I may maintain now? That I may go forward now? How have you navigated such rejection in life and still managed to walk? Teach me. I want to know. I want the skill set. See, God doesn't look at us as bad. He looks as lacking skills a lot. I just don't have the skills to navigate it well. But this is the truth. Someone out there does. Ask God to bring them to you. So, and this is the other cool thing about being a citizen in the kingdom. I don't have time to read everything because we got to do the baptisms. It's a great thing. And you know what's also cool? Is you get to earn money for this next king, for the kingdom. Yeah. Whatever your good works get you. Good works is the currency of the kingdom. And he rewards us. Because why? Matthew said it. We're told in Matthew 6 that store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Store up for yourselves. Some of us in here don't have a very good retirement plan. But I'm building a great one for eternity. Amen? I can do that. You can too. How do we do it? Start acting like a kingdom person. You're an ambassador. I don't know of any ambassadors of any country that don't get paid. Get your black, what card is that? I know you guys wouldn't have one. I wouldn't have one, but there are people that have these black cards that are called, they have like unlimited, unlimited. I'm an administrative guy, as you can tell. Here's how I do my checkbook. Trace, you need to slow down on the spending. Or was that me? It's one of us needs to slow down. I was telling Chris, if I look on the card and it's like, you know, there's enough for El Torito on here, I think. We're going. All right. So listen, here's the thing. In the new earth, where you will have your resurrected body and you will live as a citizen and a child of God and you will reign, Scripture says, this is what it will look like. No longer will there be a curse in Revelation 22:3. No longer will there be a curse upon anything. For the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him. And they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. And there will be no night there. That's I can't even imagine that. No need for lamps or sun, for the Lord will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. That is our destiny. That's where you belong. That's the Holy Spirit's job inside of you to get you there. That's a good thing. And baptism is that outward sign that I'm a citizen. I just want anybody to know. It's a great thing. And then the Holy Spirit will empower you. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go up there, get ready to do baptism with those people, and they're going to share a little bit of their story, their journey to Jesus in a nutshell. And we're going to clap because it's a celebration. And then we're going to have food outside and have like a little party for them. All right? All right, let's do this. You guys over here, so why don't we bring the band up? Those guys that need to change, whatever they need to do, do. And you guys over here aren't going to be able to see well. The drum cage is going to block you. So you might want to move over because these are cool people. You want to see it. You don't want to miss it. Thank you.
Middle. birthday.
Jay. Check, check, check. One, two. Hey, Jay.
Spring.
My name is Mike Ward. I come down from Livermore, California. I was baptized as a baby, don't remember it, and I've been an adult for a long time, and this has been a long time coming. Today, I want to thank the Lord, my God, for this wonderful day. I want to thank my daughter, who I believe God led me here to.
Wow.
And I want to thank you all for being here to witness that I become a citizen of God's kingdom.
And I'm Robin, and I did baptism when I was a teenager a long time ago, and actually I believe you were probably
there
with me.
Yeah.
He was there with me. So, and now we've just declared that we want to be on Team Jesus for now, so that's why we're here.
Oh, man. So because of your professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now baptize you into his kingdom. It's our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Addiction and alcohol, and several months ago I've been set free by the grace of Jesus, and I'm here to just lead my family into the kingdom, so I want to be a citizen.
Amen.
My name is Joe Davies. I thank God that I'm of sober mind and clear mind today. I believe that once I'm baptized that all old will be wiped away and that I'll be made new. I lost my mother in 2015. My sister Alicia's here. And I'm so thankful that my family's here to witness that I'm no longer the same. That all old will be wiped away.
Amen.
So because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we now baptize you into
the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah!
My name is Robert Sage. This is my wife, Cerise.
Hi.
Last year, God touched my heart, and he whispered in my ear to make a phone call to a friend. And because of that phone call, I'm here. And I'm excited.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
We're super excited too. Awesome. All right. So because of both of your profession of belief in Christ Jesus, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
For making me feel like I am worth, and for people that make me feel safe in my own secure space. And I just thank everyone who brought me here, and for everyone who has truth in me.
What's your name?
Haven. My name's Haven.
Hi, Haven.
Hi. Amen.
I love you.
Thank you.
In the Lord Jesus Christ, we now baptize you.
Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right, you guys, thank you for coming. We have lunch and time of fellowship outside.
One more.
Hey,
last call. Last call for baptisms. Come on up here with your clothes and everything.
Here, nervous. My name is Freddie, and I was suffering from depression and multiple attempts at suicide in my past. I lost my older brother from, he committed suicide. And recently I just lost my mom, and 2 weeks later I lost my little brother. And I fell away from God, and I'm just glad to be back. And I know I have a purpose, and I can't wait for him to show me.
Amen, brother. He will. Yeah. Woo! Profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All right. Any other takers? Come on, we're having fun up here. All right, we got food outside for you. You want to pray for the congregation?
Lord God, we just pray your blessing upon everybody that God baptized, Lord, that you'll continue. I especially lift up Freddie right now and ask that you would just do reveal yourself to that young man in a way he's never known before. Reveal yourself. So, Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone here, Lord, that you will continue to move in their lives. I pray that you'll give us ears to hear your voice and feet that are quick to obey and walk in the way you would have us on a daily basis. So bless them, Lord God. Father, we rejoice in today. We rejoice with the angels that the kingdom of God is expanding and it is moving forward forcefully. And we thank you, Lord God. Bless these precious people. And all God's kids said,
amen.
God bless, guys. See you outside.